Shri Prabhupada ki, Shri
Bhaktivedanta
ki,
Gandhara Srimad
Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki,
Nitai Goprema.
So what did we discuss in our class last week? Any other points? Tonight we'll finish the chapter. It's chapter 30. Tomorrow night we'll begin chapter 31, which is called Gopi Gita, which is a very important chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tonight we'll go from verses 37 to 44. We'll hear more about the qualification of Srimati Radharani and get a deeper insight into the Gopi's mood of love. Particularly Srimati Radharani's mood. As the two lovers passed through one part of the Vrindavan forest, the special gopi began feeling proud of herself. She told Lord Keshava, "I cannot walk any further. Please carry me wherever you want to go." So, apparently Srimati Radharani is displaying a mood of pride. We discussed this in the last couple of weeks, that if Srimati Radharani appears to be proud, it is not actual pride. It is not material pride. It is a spiritual pride, which is induced by the internal energy. It is not material. Srimati Radharani, her pride enhances the pastimes of Krishna. In other words, it increases Krishna's pleasure. It doesn't decrease his pleasure. Normally when someone becomes proud, it decreases the pleasure of those around them. We all feel dissatisfied. But when Srimati Radharani, when Srimati Radharani becomes proud, Krishna's pleasure increases. That is the nature of her pride, because it is under the influence of the internal energy. Sukha. It is not a material pride. So it's a different thing altogether. So we see here that she's acting as if she is proud, and this will be discussed in the next few verses. She says, "Please carry me. I cannot walk any further." So she's becoming dominant towards Krishna. But actually, we'll see as we discuss the next few verses and analyze her consciousness, it's not material. Usually when we say something like this, it's because we want others to serve us. And because we want other people to serve us, then we act in an improper way. But the nature of Radharani is that she doesn't have that type of consciousness. So it appears that she's saying to Krishna proudly, "You carry me," but actually there's a deeper reason behind, or a deeper state of consciousness behind what she's saying. Any points? They haven't started the rasa dance yet. That's all. Any other questions? You're going for the deep stuff. Yeah, this isn't the commentary by Vishnu. You reading that song of Ananda? You reading Ananda Brindavan Chandra? Where is Jesus? Yeah, give it to me if you get it, then give it to me. Vaishnava Toshni, that's Ananda Goswami. He's written a commentary also. So if you get anything, just send it to me. Any other points? Ananda Brindavan Champ. You'll have to catch up. Maybe jump ahead to the relevant section and then keep reading from the start as well. So, because if you read it in parallel, then you'll get more. Any other points? Of course. Yeah, it means, yeah, under the influence of. No, yoga maya. Thus addressed, Lord Krishna replied, "Just climb on my shoulder." But as soon as he said this, he disappeared. His beloved consort then immediately felt great remorse.
Recently, Radharani was exhibiting the pride of her youth who had brought her boyfriend under control. But she told Krishna, "Please carry me wherever you want to go. I can't walk anymore." Sri Krishna now disappears from her sight, intensifying her ecstatic love more and more.
Any points? Anything else?
Go to your house, and go to the club of Ali. all the gopis are visiting the Sukhumba. That's a great word. The Radharani is in the ears of all the gopis.
Anything else? So, there are different reasons why Krishna disappears from Srimati Radharani. The first reason that he wants to intensify her love. Because when you're with someone all the time, you become familiar. So you need separation. There needs to be some Bhogandhu Pralamba simultaneously. Because sometimes they say in the material world, unless you experience something bad, you can't appreciate the good thing. But that's true. In the spiritual world, that truth is there. You'll appreciate Krishna when he is there more if you're separated from him. So the arrangement of Krishna is that he wants to intensify Srimati Radharani's love. So therefore he separates. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that right before her eyes, he disappears. She's looking straight at him and then suddenly he just evaporates. So her love immediately becomes intensified. Then Krishna wants to churn the rasa because he is rasa raj, rasa kshetra. So he wants to make it more palatable. So as Jagannath Brahmaprabhu pointed out, based on Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Radharani became submissive to Krishna. Krishna says, I'll now take you to a flower bed. And she says, yes, take me. And then Krishna thinks, well, that's not much fun. That's not very pleasurable. She's just being submissive. She's just saying, whatever you want, do it. Krishna likes her when she's more hostile or more aggressive or more domineering or more challenging to him. So he doesn't enjoy it, because now she's just saying, yes, whatever you want. So then Krishna's lost his interest. So he thinks, okay, I'll intensify everything, I'll disappear. So then he leaves in order to increase her rasa. So that is the nature of Krishna's transcendental pastimes. He always wants to stimulate the rasa. So quite often he'll do the opposite thing. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out earlier that if you want to associate with Krishna, you have to get used to or accept this part of his personality, even on our level. Because, you know, we always depict him as being very compassionate and very giving to his devotees. Bhaktavatsala. But the typical or more predictable behavioral patterns of a person, that's more found in Lord Narayana or Lord Ramachandra. But when it comes to Krishna, and we worship Krishna, even on our level, of course he is compassionate, and of course he is Karuna Sindhu, he's always giving his mercy. But simultaneously, he has fun with us. I don't know if you experience that in your life, but an individual situation, but I know with me, he's very merciful because he's the most merciful person, but he never does things in a straightforward way. He likes to beat you a little bit in the process. While he's giving you his mercy, he likes to play around a little bit. That's his nature. So with Radharani, he's also acting like that. He wants to increase the pleasures, therefore he makes it more difficult. So he becomes unsubmissive because Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out that to make conjugal relationships successful, the man must become submissive to the woman. That is the nature of conjugal relationship. When the man is submissive towards the wife or towards the woman, there's more pleasure. So why is that there? That is because the Adi Rasa, or the original male-female relationship, is Radha and Krishna. So Krishna likes to be submissive to Radharani. You read all through this section, he's picking flowers for her, He has decorated her hair. You know, he is serving her. And he prefers that. He likes that. He likes to serve. Like you see the picture at Sringarva in Vrindavan, you know, where he's combing her hair. He's known as Keshava because he's expert at hairdressing. So he takes care of Srimati Radharani. So he prefers to serve her. But now she's saying, she's taking a submissive role, so now he's lost interest. He will disappear. If she's just going to let me serve her very easily, then he will change his rasa. So he is increasing the pleasure of the relationship. So, Srimati Radharani is known as Mahabhav Sarupini, which means she is the topmost personification of the highest example of love of God. The highest example of love of God is called Mahabhava. It's the topmost level. Only Srimati Radharani and her intimate associates have this level of love for Krishna. She is the personification of that kind of love. So the reason Krishna, another reason why Krishna disappears is because he wants to show everyone the intensity of Srimati Radharani's love. He wants to show, look how intense her love is for me. It is the most intense. She has the most love out of anyone. Therefore, to glorify her, that's why he hides. And in the next chapter, which is Gopi Gita, they all sit down and they begin to sing about Krishna. And actually, the acharyas say that he's on the other side of the bush. They're all singing, and there's a bush, and he's just sitting on the other side listening. Because one reason why he does this, why he separates himself, he wants to show the world the highest lover of God, which only they possess, and in particular Srimati Radharani. So this is another reason why he disappears. Then further it's explained, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that the Rasa dance is going to take place very soon. He's called them out to the forest to dance with them. But they won't experience the highest pleasure until their emotions are brought to the highest level. So therefore he separates himself from all of them, now Radharani as well, to increase their love to the highest level, so when they finally dance with him, they'll relish it more. It's like if you're hungry, you really enjoy prasadam. Like today I'm fasting. So all I'm thinking about is breakfast tomorrow. I was preparing class before, I was preparing things. I thought, I want to eat now. So I'm pushing myself. But when I eat tomorrow, I'm going to really enjoy. And that's why Krishna is doing that to Radharani and the gopis. He's holding back his associations. So when they get it, they will enjoy it to the highest degree. So that is his reciprocation to them. So when it appears that Krishna sometimes is acting cruelly, or he's putting them into distress, actually he's just increasing their pleasure. And actually, as Lord Chaitanya shows us in his appearance, where he came to taste Vipralamba, he shows us actually the pleasure they have while separated is even greater than the pleasure of union. That's why Krishna separates himself, to heighten the pleasure to the highest level. So then, the actual reason, and Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains this, and we have to understand this, Radharani is selfless. So when it appears that she's being proud, or it appears that she's directing Krishna or ordering Krishna, taking a superior role, which she does constantly in the relationship, she only does this for his pleasure, because it gives him pleasure. Mm-hmm. When he is ordered by her, So she says to him at this point, and this is called, actually, it's a technical, it's called Atmavan Seva. Atmavan means as I am feeling. Now, what's that famous verse we always say? Atmavan, Manyate, Jagat. We always quote like that. Atmavan, Prabhupada would say, we quote from the Vedas. Atmavan, Manyate, Jagat. Jagat means the universe, everywhere. Atmavan means as I am feeling. So if I'm feeling, then everyone else must be feeling. People impose their consciousness onto other people's consciousness. Yeah. I want money, so everyone must want money. Some people don't want money. So you're thinking like that, so you're imposing onto others. So, Atmavan Seva, this means this is the way we should serve the deity. In other words, I am cold. So what does that mean? The deity is cold. I'm hot. The deity is hot. I'm hungry. The deity is hungry. I'm tired. The deity is tired. That's called Atmavan Seva. If you want to serve the deity nicely, you have to be in that consciousness. You know? Like, you know, sometimes we're hot, so we put on the AC, then the deity doesn't have any AC. So how can you have AC if the deity doesn't have AC? Or, you know, you'll offer the deity some sultanas and cashews, right? But then you'll eat chapati and roti and sabji. So how can that work? You have more than what the deity has. That means improper. So the consciousness of Srimati Radharani, the reason why, because she's completely selfless. She's thinking, I'm tired now. I want to rest. We've been walking for a long time down this forest. So if I'm tired, who else must be tired? The deity. Who is the deity? He's there. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, when you study the pastime of Shakshi Gopal, right? You know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, a famous pastime, the two brahmanas go to Vrindavan, and they make the vow, right? And then they come back. And then the older Brahmana says, I don't remember saying that. So the younger Brahmana goes back. He says to the deity, you have to come. He says, I how can I walk? He said, well, you're talking, so
you can walk.
So then he walks all the way down. Right? And then he gets to that place, which is not far from Puri. And then the deity stops there. Right? And then he's still there, that deity is still there, Shakshi Gopal, famous deity. So, Prabhupada says in his commentary, in the purport, in that pastime, Srila Prabhupada says, the deity is non-different from Krishna. The deity is Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Rajendra Nandana. That was what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught us. Radha Balabha, that is Krishna. Depending on our consciousness, we will see, or Krishna will reciprocate, but it is Krishna. It's non-different. So that is the mood of the devotee. While the devotee is serving the deity, he thinks, this is Krishna. So the original deity, Krishna himself, in the original form, is right there with Srimati Radharani. And because she is the Radhika, she is the most devoted servant, she is thinking, I'm tired, so the deity must be tired. Krishna is tired. So she says, lift me up and carry me now. I'm tired. And take me to that place where we can rest. But actually, she's just thinking, I want him to rest. He's tired. It's the middle of the night. He obviously hasn't slept. At the rate we're going to stay up all night. I don't want him to stay up all night. I want him to have some rest. Otherwise, when he gets back tomorrow in Nandagram, he's going to look very tired. Everyone's going to be very suspicious. So it's better he has some rest now. So that was her whole intent. So we have to understand this point. Whenever Srimati Radharani says anything, even though it may appear, as we said, we explained last week or the week before, if she's jealous, and she says, Krishna, I don't want to talk to you because you're enjoying with other gopis. It's not because she has some personal issue with Krishna being with other gopis. In fact, it's the opposite. In Shikshastika, in the final verse, Ashlisha Abha Paranatam Kanashtuma, right? She says, because that verse is actually Srimati Radharani herself speaking in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When she says, if it gives you more pleasure to be with someone, some other gopi, that's my greatest pleasure. You're a debauchee. So if you like to be with someone else who's my competitor in front of me, if that is giving you more pleasure, then that's my greatest pleasure. We can't even understand this consciousness. This consciousness is so immaterial. It is so spiritually enlivened and powerful. You can't understand it with material consciousness. Unless you're purified, you can't understand it. So she is thinking that Krishna is with someone else, and then she appears to get jealous and angry and goes off and sulks in Man. As we said last week, that's only because she's thinking, obviously he's going to be more happy with me because I am Radhika. So then her jealousy is just to draw him away so he will have more pleasure. So it is completely selfless. Even though it appears as selfish, it's not. So it's the most advanced state of consciousness, which we actually cannot understand. I can't understand it. I can theoretically appreciate it to some degree, but I can't understand her consciousness. It's such a high level of pure purity. So, it actually says, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur makes this point very interesting. Krishna took it that she was being selfish. She was being domineering and proud. And the only reason he was thinking like that, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, because he became covered by his own Leela Shakti, which is quite an amazing point to consider. God himself allows himself to be covered by his Shakti and bewildered. And this happens all through this past life. Leela Shakti comes and governs him, and then he thinks, why is she being proud? She's telling me what to do. I'll disappear from her. Then at that point he doesn't understand what her real intent is. The Leela Shakti does that, so then it will increase his pleasure, her pleasure. So it is all for the pleasure of Krishna. Any points? Yeah, all the Shakti is personified. They take personal form. Any other point? Yeah, that's a move. Yeah, because Krishna allows her to take that position. He is in control, he is the Lord. There's no one more powerful than him. The Shaktis come from him. He is the Shakti Ma. He is the source of the Shakti. But he allows the Shakti to take this superior position. Because it's his Shakti. Any other point? Which verse are we up for? She cried out, O Master, my lover, O dear most, where are you? Where are you? Please, O mighty armed one, O friend, show yourself to me, your poor servant.
My Lord, I'm being burned in the great fire of separation from you, and my life air is about to leave my body. Even with the greatest endeavor, my life. So you can quickly save me simply by glancing upon me. Please do so immediately. I beg you to save my life, not for my sake, but rather for yours. After giving up all the other gopis, you have brought me so far to a secluded place in the forest just to enjoy special pleasure with me. If I die, you will not be able to find conjugal happiness anywhere else. You will remember me and thus lament in your sorrow. Krishna replied, so let me become unhappy. What does that matter to you? But you are most dear to me. I will feel your unhappiness millions of times more than you. Even if I have already died, I still will not be able to tolerate the pain that even one spot on the nails of your lotus feet can feel. Indeed, to prevent such pain, I am ready to throw my life away millions and millions of times. So kindly show yourself and drive away that unhappiness. But if your life is on the verge of leaving your body, what can I do to stop that? Simply by the touch of your arms, which are a medicinal herb with a power to revive the dead, my body will return to its healthy normal condition and my life there will automatically come back and remain in my body. But you know the forest path yourself without my help. So why did you order me, the king's son, young and gentle boy who is respected? Why did you command, take me wherever you wish? Why do you anger me then? Radha cries out, please show yourself to your wretched maid servant. Be merciful to me. Be merciful. When I ordered you, I was overcome by sleepiness. I was so tired from playing with you. Therefore, please excuse what your poor servant said. Please don't be angry. It was only because you treated me like such a close friend, who I am unworthy, that I spoke like that to you. All right, my love, I am very pleased with you. So please come to me. But I have been blinded by lamentation. I can't see where you are. Please tell me where you are.
Any points? Yeah, because it means that she is showing us the topmost level of love of Godhead. So when you actually have, this is one way to know, because you know, you may ask yourself, do I have love of God? How do you know if you have love of God? When you're actually humble, then you are developing love of God. Because love of God has, it's synonymous, prema and dainya, which means humility, is synonymous. You can't have one without the other. You can't have love without humility, you can't have humility without love. So you must have both. So because she has perfect love for Krishna, she's also perfectly humble. Does that answer that?
I was reading and
Yeah, so we should develop the mood of being a servant. You can only be happy when you're a servant. You know, like Prabhupada said, no lazies, no crazies. That's basically ISKCON. If you're lazy, you're not qualified to be an ISKCON. If you're crazy, which means you think you're something other than Krishna's servant, you're not qualified to be an ISKCON. So you have to be a servant. We're happy when we're servants. When we're doing service, we're happy. When you're not doing service, you're not happy. Any other point?
There you go. If the wife is tired or hungry, should she never tell the husband?
Yes, it does.
Because she's a lover.
And my wife tells me all the time. Any other points?
Here, I think they don't have even their reason. So then, she is saying that why she was anything. And Krishna is saying why he left her. And I think.
Yeah, that's the mood in the spiritual world. So, she's showing us what is actual selflessness. If we're selfish, you can't get back into the spiritual world. Prabhupada said, if you say, I want, that is sense gratification. So you catch yourself in your mind or verbally. Sometimes we say, I want this, I want that. And what did my spiritual master say to me? Who cares what you want? Who cares what you want? It doesn't matter what we want. That's not bhakti. You say, I want this, I want that. It doesn't matter. And Krishna will take everything away from you. He says that in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto. He said, when I'm especially merciful to a devotee, I take everything away from them. So, sooner or later, everything gets taken away. You say, I want this, I want that, I will serve, but I want these circumstances. Krishna takes all those circumstances away. So this is complete selflessness. Radharani is showing us. Completely selfless. Under any circumstance, she only desires one thing. In happiness or distress. She says to Krishna in the Shikshastika, in the final verse, whether you make me happy by your embrace or broken-hearted by not being present before me, still you are my Lord. That's bhakti. So unconditional love. Guru Goswami teaches us bhakti must be unconditional. I'll serve Krishna, but only when I'm a rich man. So maybe Krishna will make you a poor man. If he wants to see, will you serve under all circumstances? Even Srila Prabhupada said that before he came to the material world, he was in the spiritual world with Krishna. And then Prabhupada said Krishna and himself had an argument. And then Prabhupada said, I want to go to the West and preach as a rich man. And Krishna said, no, as a poor man. And Prabhupada said, no, I want to be rich. I want to make... That's why he was making all that money in India before he left. And actually it says on his palm, it said he would be one of the richest men in India. So Prabhupada's mood was, I'll become rich, and then I'll go to the West, and I'll spread Krishna consciousness with all my money. And Krishna said, no, as a poor man. He wanted to show the example. And he wanted to glorify Prabhupada even more. If Prabhupada had came rich to the West, it wouldn't have been as glorious as coming with $8, with 40 rupees. So therefore, Krishna arranged that he would be poor. So they had this argument, and Krishna said, no, poor, and then he gave the poor person. So the point is that we serve Krishna under any circumstance. Prabhupada didn't say to Krishna, okay, if you want me to be a poor man, you do it yourself. Or you go and find someone else. go and send someone else. But he wouldn't do that. Prabhupada, he would serve Krishna under any circumstance. And you see, actually, Prabhupada served Krishna under any circumstance. And that was the relationship he had. Even in Mumbai, Prabhupada said the greatest fight was the Juhu man. They went on for 2 years, and Mr. Nair cheated. Prabhupada said he prayed to Nisringadev to kill him. And then Nisringadev killed him. Prabhupada said, I've been praying not to kill him. So Prabhupada came to Rasa Bihari, the deity is there. Rasa Bihari?
Yeah.
Rasa Bihari. So he came to Radha Rasa Bihari, and he had them in the shed on the land. And Prabhupada said, he prayed to the deity, he said, if you tolerate this, he said, I know this is not suitable for you. If you tolerate this, I promise you I'll build you a beautiful temple. So Prabhupada had that relationship with Krishna, right? No matter what the circumstance was, he would serve Krishna. And he was so intimate with Krishna, he would even ask Krishna to do the same thing. You please tolerate for some time, and then I'll give you better. So that is the relationship between the Lord and the pure devotee. And the pure devotee will serve Krishna under any circumstance. So that's what we're learning. Srimati Radharani, whether she's happy or not happy, she just wants to please Krishna. And that's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Any points? I'm not sure. Prabhupada mentioned a few times we had this conversation. Shukadeva Goswami said, while continuing to search out Krishna's path, the gopis discovered their unhappy friend close by. She was bewildered by separation from her lover. So at this point they find Srimati Radharani. What state is she in? Yeah, distress, crying, but where is she when they find her? She's laying on the ground unconscious. Right? So you can imagine how the gopis must feel. They're walking along, they're looking for Krishna, and suddenly they see in the distance, because she's so effulgent, they see her from quite a distance. And she's laying on the ground, she's unconscious, so they all run. And this is an arrangement by Krishna, and by Krishna's Lila Shakti, because it unites all of them. Because even Chandravali, who's her cousin, she loves her. They're very dear to each other, Radha and Chandravali and Radha are very dear to each other. But there's a competition there. But when she sees Radharani laying like that, she runs. They all run together, and they just all come. And they all begin to cry very loudly. And by crying and fanning, and they awaken Srimati Radharani back to consciousness. So she comes back to consciousness. As it's described in this verse, they're most unhappy to see Radharani like that. Ultimately, that's what it is like in the spiritual world. There's no envy. Yeah, Chandravali and the others, they don't want to see Radharani unhappy. Deep down, they're all very attached and connected to each other. But there's just different moods and service. That's why there's some division. Any points? She told them how Madhava had given her much respect, but how she had suffered dishonor because of her misbehavior. The gopis were extremely amazed to hear this.
It was natural for Radharani to ask Krishna to carry her, for this request was consistent with the loving mode of the relationship. Now, however, in great humility, she described her behavior as weak. Hearing of this affair, the other gopis had gone.
point. Yeah, she, once again, she's showing the highest level of humility. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary, it's very beautiful the way he describes how she feels. She's calling herself a maidservant, wretched, low. And actually, she's saying the reason that I'm here now by myself is because I misbehaved towards all of you. She says, I shouldn't have taken Krishna away by himself. She said, I was totally selfish. So she's showing us complete humility, Danya. She says, all the other gopis, please forgive me, because I caused you so much distress. I took him away, and obviously I was selfish. I just wanted him to myself, and all of you had to suffer in separation from him. So she shows the highest level of humility. So they awake her, and then she says, I've been mischievous. I did not act respectfully. And she says, and he did not treat you properly either, because he did the same thing as me. He called all of you out here in the forest, and then he left all of you and just took me away. So he's to blame, and I'm to blame, both of us. So please forgive us. We acted improperly towards all of you. So how do the gopis respond? What do the gopis say in return? When Radharani says, you can blame Krishna and myself, then what do they say? They say, you're okay, but he's not. Right? Yeah, you're saying you both did the wrong thing. Actually, you're okay, you didn't do the wrong thing. Because they're feeling very soft, because they can see now he's left her as well. So they're feeling very soft towards Srimati Radharani. They know you're okay, you didn't do anything wrong. Now you're suffering as well. He's the problem. He's the one who has caused all the problems. So now they're angry towards him. So then he knows what's going on. So why has he done this? Because he's complete. He's created unity amongst all of them. This is his master plan. He's the supreme genius. Whenever he does something, it's for the supreme good. So he's unified everyone. Because the Rasa Lila is about to take place straight after this. He needs them all to be united. If there's a whole mood of like, oh, she's here, she's here, she's here, it's going to break down the pleasure of the Rasa Lila. So he wants them all to be together. So he's created unity and he's unified them. He's turned them all against him. And when they finally get back to be with him, then they'll all, because of the intensity, when they finally unite with him, they'll be in the highest level of pleasure. So that's his genius in the way he's dealing with the whole situation.
Very genius.
Yeah. I mean, he's expert. He knows exactly what to do to bring everyone to the highest level of pleasure. He wants to give pleasure to the devotees. He wants them to experience the highest pleasure, but he does it the way that will bring that out for everyone. So it is unconventional. You wouldn't expect Krishna to act like this, but he acts like this just to... It's like a few years ago at the farm, we had the Gopuja, and we had one drama, and the drama was the pearl pastime, where Krishna steals the pearls. Muktachari. So then we had some guests there who are not devotees, I guess. And I said to them after, I said, what do you think about the pastime? They said, God's a thief. You worship a thief. Right? He's stealing, and then he's counter-stealing and he's causing problems. And they said, how could God be like that? He's supposed to be the supreme good person. So he's stealing, he's causing arguments, and he's throwing everything up. So I explained to them, I said, no, this is God. He's God. If he just does everything as you would expect, is that really pleasurable? Really exciting? Yeah, everyone here, have the pearls and everyone, be nice to everyone. No, he creates mischief. He creates disharmony, right? He creates, and then they began to understand. Okay, now I understand. That's Krishna. Krishna's like that. He won't do anything straightforward. You wouldn't expect him to act like this, but he acts exactly like we would not expect. Yeah. When we went back to the last year, right, he would go in, steal the butter, right? Couldn't find the butter, right? Past urine, it runs out, and then they scolded him. They said, "Hey, what are you doing? You're running it." He said, "If I come tomorrow and there's no butter, I'm going to burn the house down." Right? You work it out, and then he runs off. So you read it, you say, "How could God speak like that? How could that be God?" But it must be God. Well, obviously it's God. God wants to have the greatest pleasure. We were all laughing just then. Right, if he had walked outside and said, "Oh, Hare Krishna, everyone have a nice day." Not so pleasurable. But when he does like that, everyone becomes so much more enriched. So it must be Krishna. Any points?
And they said, "You worship God with the teeth." And all the priests and everybody from India, they didn't say anything to them. And he said, "Well, they should have known that if he's not a thief, everything belongs to him anyway. So how can you see?" All the pandas and all the people in Vrindavan, they should have told them.
We are kings. We are kings. We are using it to enjoy it for me.
In search of Krishna, the gopis then entered the depths of the forest as far as the light of the moon shone. But when they found themselves engulfed in darkness, they decided to turn back. But interesting again, Vishnu Chakrari Thakur says, why did they turn back? Because they're wandering through the forest looking for him, and they know, because of the type of person he is, the closer they get to him, what's he going to do? He's just going to keep moving away. So if they go right into the forest, he's just going to go further in. So they're thinking, because they're young girls and they're very soft, they are thinking, he's just going to get tired. Mm-hmm. So let's not keep going, because then he'll just keep going, and then he's going to wear himself out, and then he'll be tired tomorrow when he has to go and look after the cows, and he won't be able to dance later on if there's going to be a rasa dance. He'll be too tired. So let's just head back. They're always thinking of him. So actually, the nature of bhakti, and Rupa Goswami comments on this in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the Nectar of Devotion, he says, the nature of bhakti is the devotee is soft-hearted. If the heart is not soft, it means bhakti is not growing. And you'll notice this in yourself and in other devotees. When the heart is becoming very soft, that means advancement is taking place. You don't like to see the suffering of others. Para dukkha dukkhi. Sometimes we preach to all the non-devotees, but we don't treat the devotees very well. But when you're soft-hearted, you'll care about the devotees genuinely. If the devotee is suffering, then you can't be peaceful. If you see another devotee is going through some difficulty, you have to look out for that devotee. That's bhakti. That means soft-hearted. Devotees need to be soft. You can't get back to the spiritual unless you're soft-hearted. And who are the most soft-hearted devotees? The gopis. Right? They're so concerned about Krishna. They think, let's stop all this walking into the forest. He's just going to keep going. We know what he's like. He's not going to stop. He'll just keep walking. The further we walk, the more he'll work. He'll keep hiding. Let's not tire him out. So they all go back and sit down. So just once again, it's showing us their unlimited, selfless nature and their soft-hearted disposition. Any points? In search of Krishna, the gopis then entered the depths of the forest as far as the light. I just read that right. Sorry. Their minds absorbed in thoughts of him. They conversed about him, acted out his pastimes, and felt themselves filled with his presence. They completely forgot about their homes as they loudly sang the glories of Krishna's transcendental qualities. Delicious.
Actually, there is no separation from Krishna for pure devotees. Also, apparently, attended by Krishna, gopis were actually tightly connected to him by the spiritual forces of Salam, Krishna, Vishnu, healing and chanting of the Guru.
So, how do we unite with Krishna? This is like the entire essence of the process of the Bhagavatam. Nicha Bhagavata Sevaya. Right back in the very beginning, the Bhagavatam told us, how do we connect to Krishna? Right? By hearing and chanting about him. Right? That is the process. Then you are with Krishna. Maybe we don't realize it because our hearing and chanting is not intense enough. But if you intensely hear and chant, you are with Krishna. Krishna manifests. You can feel his presence. So the gopis, they began to hear, they just sat down and they thought, well, if we can't find him, we'll sit down, we'll begin to glorify his holy name, that will make him manifest. Wherever his name is chanted, he is there. Abhinitva nama namino. There's no difference between Krishna and Krishna's name. So if you chant the holy name of Krishna, you will feel Krishna's presence. Shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam. That's the entire process of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those angas of bhakti, the first three, they are the goal. Right? Shravanam and Kirtanam are the most powerful, right, and the most wanted items of bhakti, and they lead to remembrance. Right? When you hear and chant, the result is you remember Krishna. And when you remember Krishna, he is present. So the devotees, they're in a state of unmada. We've been hearing about all through this chapter. So the first level of unmada, right, is when they speak about Krishna. They're so creepy, they just speak about him. They have to talk about him all the time. But when the unmada, or the madness, when it becomes more powerful, then they don't just speak about him, but they begin to ask all the living entities, as we saw in this chapter, where is he, where is he? They start speaking to trees and birds and deer. And then when the unmada gets to its highest level, they actually... Krishna manifests in them, and they think they are Krishna. Right? And he actually appears, in Ananda Vrindavan Champu, it says, he appears inside their consciousness. He actually physically enters into them. And through that union with him, they begin to act his pastimes. That's the highest level of madness. So by the gopis hearing and chanting, they bring Krishna to them. Okay, the last verse. The gopis.
Shravanam is the first thing.
Yeah.
Because that's the same thing.
The hearing, chanting, remembering. These three are the most powerful.
All of them, I thought Shravanam
is. Shravanam is the first. That's
all. Because that's the same thing. That's the first. And that goes.
So we do Shravanam first, but the goal is Smaranam. That's the goal.
Okay.
The gopis again came to the bank of the Kalindi, meditating on Krishna and eagerly hoping he would come. They all sat down together to sing of him. Yeah, it's one of the 9 levels of Bhava. I was kind of remember what the sense is. Expecting the Lord's mercy. Any other point?
I think when we say that the Lord can be revealed.
Yeah. Krishna appears when Krishna wants to appear, but what causes Krishna to appear? It's the intensity of our devotion, the intensity of our bhajan. The gopis make him come. Okay, you can say, well, he appears when he wants to appear, but if you call out, when Draupadi called out, Krishna was there. You can say, oh, Krishna appeared when he wanted to appear. Yeah, that's true. But when the intensity was there, he was there in an instant. Or when she had to feed Duvasa, right, same thing. When she called out to him, he appeared in the forest. Immediately he was there. So the only reason why Krishna is not appearing before us is because we're not intense. And Rupa Goswami specifically says, bhakti must be intense to attract Krishna. The gopis are the most intense devotees. Therefore Krishna is right there. You'll see in the next chapter, they chant the most intense prayers. Right? It's called the Gopi Gita. The next chapter is very powerful. We've already had one Gita. There's about 6 or 7 Gitas in the 10th canto. And what was the first one? Chapter 21? Venu Gita. Right? Now this is the second Gita in the 10th canto. Gopi Gita. This is the most intense chapter. Right? Where the gopis, they chant in separation from Krishna. And it is so intense, they force Krishna to manifest. Right? Our problem is there's no intensity in our chanting. Right? We can't, half the time we're just struggling to stay awake. Right? So how are you going to attract Krishna? Right? We all laugh, but it's actually sad because how are you ever going to attract Krishna? There's no intensity in the chanting. Prabhupada says in the first canto of the Bhagavad Gita, there must be a quality to the chanting. Quality is intenseness. So what do the gopis do? The gopis right here, they're showing us the whole process of Krishna consciousness. They find a holy place. What is the holy place? Right? Next to the Jamuna. Now, there's nowhere more sacred than being right next to Jamuna Devi or Govardhan Hill or Radhakund. They go to the most sacred place and they chant Krishna's names intensely and Krishna himself comes. That's the entire process of bhakti. Just find a holy place, sit down, chant intensely and Krishna will come. Any points?
Actually, when we were reading about Uttara, when she came to Lord Krishna to say her name, it was written in Prabhupada that he didn't have to go very far because inside her heart. And so he didn't have to go very far. He's always there.
Anything else? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki. But tomorrow night we'll begin the Gopi Gita.
Okay. I think I'll get something.